This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Letting God Mold Me.
We've been in a series of messages on the major topic of the spiritual benefits of the Christian life. And our subtopic to that over the last few weeks has been making it through hard times. And I know that's an important topic. Amen?
Amen.
One of the things that I say often now, because I've learned it so well over these past couple of years, everybody has issues.
Amen.
Everybody's dealing with something. And it's not because there's something wrong. It's because that's the way life is. Let's start today by looking at two scriptures. Put your finger or your bookmark in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 37. But then go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And look at what it tells us about the hard times that we go through. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now catch what that verse is telling us. It says that God, through his divine power, has given to us already everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need to be successful in life. Look at Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, what are we? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Now catch it. We in Christ have available to us everything we need to cope with life. No matter what situation comes up, no matter what you're having to deal with, the word that we get from Scripture is all things that are necessary for life and godliness. And from Romans 8:37, we are supposed to be more than conquerors over any circumstance, any situation that we have to face. I want you to notice something. In those two verses, there are only two people that it talks about. It talks about God and it talks about us. Amen? Did you notice? Nobody else is mentioned there. Your boss is not mentioned there. Your wife is not mentioned there. Your husband is not mentioned there. Your child is not mentioned there. Catch it. Not even the devil himself is mentioned there. Do you know what that means? Nobody else can get in the way of us being more than conquerors, overcomers, victorious over any circumstance in life. There are only two possible people that could get in the way of that. One of them is God, and he won't. Amen? Guess who the other one is? How many of you would have to admit you have already gotten in your own way in terms of life and godliness? Already gotten your own way. Amen? We're the only ones who can mess this thing up. And God is saying that there is only one thing that can get in the way of us being victorious, overcoming in any circumstance of life. It's not lack of ability. It's not knowing or being unable to deal with situations. You know what it is? It's lack of godliness. Lack of godliness. Most of the messes that I have gotten into in my life, I have gotten into not because I made unwise decisions, but because I made ungodly decisions. Let me tell you something about myself. Now, I am by nature a procrastinator. There, I've confessed it. I am by nature a procrastinator. By nature, I put stuff off. And you know what I have found as I look back over my life? So many times I have gotten into trouble, not because I didn't know what to do, not because I wasn't able to do it, but because I made the ungodly decision not to handle it when I should have handled it. Amen. Amen? Now you stop saying amen over there. She's the only one that's not allowed to say amen to that. No, it was not the fact that I didn't know what to do. It was the fact that I made ungodly decisions about what I was going to do. You see, the issue for us is not knowledge. I mean, think about it for a moment. I can handle any situation in life if I got three things. One is knowledge, one is skill, and one is power. For example, suppose I want to drive a car. What do I need to do that successfully? First of all, I need to know how to drive. Isn't that right? And so what do? They give you this little book that gives you all the traffic rules and everything. You learn what a car is and what the steering wheel is, what the gas pedal and the brake and all that is. Amen. You got the theory down. Then I need power. Let me just find out. How many of you can remember back to the days before there was power steering? Anybody can remember back that far? Uh-huh. Amen. Remember having to try to take that wheel and go, ugh. Uh-huh. If you didn't have enough power to turn the wheel, or before they had power brakes, amen, you couldn't drive. Isn't that right? So you had to have power. But then on top of that, what did you have to have? You had to have skill. Even once you knew up in your head what it was to drive a car, even though you had muscles coming out all over your place, all over your body, you still had to develop the skill to get out in traffic with all those people whizzing by you, amen, and handle a car. So if you have knowledge, power, and skill, you can handle any situation in life. Now look at this. Look at what the Bible tells us we already have. Go over to Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Romans 15, 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What's the word telling us? Knowledge is already dealt with. By the word of God, by the power of God in our lives, we have access to all the knowledge that we need to be successful in life, no matter what circumstance or situation we have to deal with. That knowledge is available to us. Now, it doesn't mean, by the way, that it's already in here. Because the word of God tells us that the people of God can perish from lack of knowledge. So where is the knowledge that we need to deal with circumstances in life to be found? Where do you think that knowledge might reside? Thank you. Amen. The knowledge is here. It's available to us. And if we don't take advantage of it, whose fault is that? It's not God's. Amen. And so number one, we have the knowledge that we need. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. What about power? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. When you think about the situations that you have to deal with in your life right now, how many of you sometimes feel weak? You just feel like, man, you know, this is too much. And you just feel weak. Catch this. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Man, do you see that? Do you see what God says? When you are weak, when you can't handle your situation, God says he will come and he will give you the power you need to handle it. He increases strength to those who have no might. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So it's not that you have to try to be so strong in circumstances. It's to acknowledge your weakness and let God build you up. So we got the knowledge that we need. We have the power that we need. What about skill? Go over to Psalm 144. Look at verse 1. Psalm 144, verse 1. How many of you Monday through Saturday feel like you're having to fight battles in your life? Amen? Catch this. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You see what God is saying? God is the one who prepares us and trains us, gives us the skill that we need to fight the battles that we face in life on a daily basis. God has already made that available to us. So catch it. Everything that we need in order to be successful in life is already there. All of the knowledge, all of the power, all of the skill that we need, God has promised to supply it. But there is one thing that God cannot give us until we ask for it. And that is godly character. Think about this. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Look at how the kingdom of God operates. Matthew 6, 33. There is one thing that God requires of us before he can work out our circumstances and our situation in life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek when? First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, everything you need to be successful in life, will be added to you. But you have to get the order right. What did he say? Seek it when?
First,
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, God insists that we focus first on godliness before we focus on our circumstances. You know, there's so many times when I talk to people about the issues that they are trying to deal with in their life. And I know exactly what they need to do. I mean, I could tell them chapter and verse, this is what you need to do, A, B, C, D. And if they did it, they would work out their situation. But you know what I also know a lot of that time? They can't do it. They won't do it. Why? It's not because they don't have the ability. It's not because they don't have the knowledge. I'm sitting there trying to give them the knowledge. It's not that they don't have the skill. I'll help them develop the skill. You know what the issue is? They don't have godliness. And so they're not interested in doing what God said do. They're still wanting to work things out for themselves. If you're not interested in following God and doing what God said do, guess what? Let me just put it real for you. God can't help you. If you're not interested in following God and obeying God, there is nothing God can do for you. Amen? Because he won't make you. All he will do is give you the opportunity to follow him in godliness. Go over to Romans 8:29. Here's what God wants to have happen in our lives. Godliness is the thing that God is interested in happening in our lives. How many of you know that God wants us to live prosperous lives? How many of you know that? Amen? How many of you know that God has said that he is the God of healing? He wants us to be in health. Amen? How many of you know that God says that he will supply every need? He doesn't want us to lack in our lives. Amen? Praise God. So God is interested in our prosperity. He's interested in our health. He's interested in our ability to make it through circumstances in life. But guess what? That is not his number one priority. Our happiness is not God's number one priority. Does anybody know that? I have had so many people say to me, oh, you know God wants me to be happy. And if I stay with my husband, I won't be happy, so I'm leaving him. Amen? How many of you know that God is not primarily interested in your happiness? Let me tell you something. If you are seeking after happiness in your life, you will never find it. Understand that. If you are seeking after happiness in your life, you will never find happiness because happiness is not a destination. It's a byproduct. And you know what it's a byproduct of? If you seek after godliness, you will be both godly and happy. Amen? You see, happiness can't stand by itself. You can't get it by going after it. The more you reach for it, it disappears just like a puff of smoke. But when you go after God, wrap your arms around Him, let Him wrap His arms around you, what He says is, I will both make you godly and I'll make you happy. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Look at what God's priority for our lives is. It's not our happiness. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you know what God's priority for your life is? He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be like Jesus. That's what God is doing in our lives. He is in the business of making us Christ-like. And that is the number one priority He has for your life. Look at verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 28 is a very familiar verse. It's one that we as Christians quote often. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we're going to talk about that. But as we talk about it, think about it within the context of the fact that God's priority is not our health, happiness, our prosperity. God's priority, even though He wants us to have those things, His priority is that we become like Jesus. Now look at what Romans 8:28 is telling us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Anybody here love God? Let me just see. Who are the ones who love God here today? Amen. Well, guess what? You qualify for this verse. All things work together for good to those who love God. Now look at the second part of it, though. Who are the called according to what? His purpose. Understand, God has a purpose for your life. You've been used most of your life to trying to work out your own purposes for your life. And what was your purpose? I want to be happy. I want to have money. I want to have a good car. I want to be popular. I want to look good. Anybody here want to look good? Let me just see. Amen. That's godly. Praise God. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. Amen. No, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. There is nothing wrong with wanting to feel good, to be in health. There is nothing wrong with wanting to be prosperous and to have enough to live and to have the things that you want to have in life. There's nothing wrong with that. But as we have grown up in this world, those things are the things that have been the priorities in our life. That's what we've been looking for. That's what we've been searching for. That's what we've been trying to have. And what God says is, you got your priorities out of order. When you become a Christian, your priorities change. You no longer go out looking for how can I become the person I want to be. You know what? God has a purpose for your life. And the question changes, how can I become the person God intended for me to be? And you know what that person looks like? He looks like Jesus. Amen. She looks like Jesus. Now look at what Romans 8:28 is telling us. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God makes sure that anything He allows in your life has a purpose. And He will work it for good. God will make sure that anything that He allows to come into your life will be something that He can work for your good. And if God can't turn it to good, He will not allow it to come into your life. Any of you gone through any situation that was painful in the recent past? Really painful situation? Amen. All right. How many of you wish that thing, whatever it was, had never happened? Amen. Now understand something. If you are a Christian and God allowed you to go through that situation, it was because he knew he could use that situation and turn it to good. Whatever it was. I don't know what the situation was, but guess what? The Word of God tells me that God intends to turn whatever that you think of as negative situation to your good. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Here's the thing that we have to believe about God. If you're going to understand and know that God really will take those seemingly negative circumstances of your life and turn them to good, you have to know this about God. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God says that his plan for your life is not to harm you. It's not to hurt you. But it is to give you hope and a future. You have to know that. You have to have an unshakable conviction about that. So that when you are looking a situation in the face that is painful, that is frustrating, that you can't see how to make your way through, you've got to know that whether you can see it or not, God has already purposed to take that thing and turn it for your good. Yesterday was kind of a difficult day for me. For the 2 days before that, I stayed up a lot of the night getting our radio broadcast prepared. And so yesterday, Saturday, I was tired. Really tired. Then I had to get up at 7 to be over here for a discipleship. And then during the time I was over here, several things didn't go the way I wanted them to go. Finally, about 3 o'clock, I finished doing the stuff that I needed to do, walked out the door. And when I walked out the door, let me tell you something. I did not see a single bird, but I knew they had been there. Because from the front of my car to the back of my car, in fact, you can go out there right now, and you can tell the birds were there yesterday. Amen? And when I saw that, I went, oh, man, I mean, you know. But then you know what happened? I stopped and I thought about it because I already had this sermon in my mind. Amen? God said that he can make anything work together for good to those who love him. So instead of getting all upset about the birds, I just laughed. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, maybe he'll send the rain to wash my car today. Praise the Lord. I don't know. But even something as dumb and as silly as that, God says, I'll turn it to good. And because of that, when we run into a situation like that, instead of getting all upset and angry, what good would it have done me to get mad at the birds? Amen? Be driving home all upset, have an accident because I'm thinking about them dumb birds. No, instead of that, go over to James chapter 1. Look at what God says we're supposed to do. James chapter 1, start with verse 2. My brethren, that means us. That means as Christians he's talking to. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you run into various trials, various difficult situations, hard times, what does the Bible say that you are supposed to do about it? MGC? Moan, groan, and complain? What does it say? Count it all joy. The birds camp above your car? Count it all joy, hallelujah. Amen? Think about, what is it that happened to you this past week that you didn't like? Can you count it all joy? Can you turn to God and say, God, I thank you that you allowed that circumstance to come into my life, not because I like the circumstance, but because I know you're going to turn it for my good. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look at what God says. Let me show you how to put this thing into practice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In how much? In 68% of the situations, give thanks. And in the rest of them, moan, groan, and complain. How many of you have that in your Bible? Amen. No, in everything, give thanks. In other words, in whatever circumstance you're having to deal with in life, in whatever you're going through, no matter how painful it feels, God never promised that we won't have to deal with pain. Amen? He never promised that he was going to make things easy for us. He never promised that we could make it through life and we would go all around all the situations and circumstances that everybody else has to deal with because we're Christians. God never said that. But what he did say is we can count it all joy and we can give thanks in how much? Everything. That means there is no situation that God will allow you to face that he will not turn to good in some way. There's a man named Domingo Pacheco. On May 11th, 1996, he was headed toward the airport. And on the way, he had a flat tire. How many of you have ever had a flat tire out on the highway? Any of you? Is that a fun experience? That's not a fun experience, amen? And think about this. You're on your way to catch a plane. If you don't get there on time, it's going to leave without you. And if he was anything like me, you get the cheap ticket. The cheap ticket is once you buy it, you can't change it. Not without paying a penalty, amen? So that means if you miss your flight, you lose your money. And there he was on the side of the road, May 11th, 1996, sweating, miserable, talking about, oh, why did this happen to me? And just about that time, his cell phone rang. His mom was on the phone and said, Domingo, where are you? And he told her, you know, I'm on the side of the road changing a flat. And she said, turn on the radio. And he turned on the radio and heard that flight number 592 had crashed into the Everglades. And because he was on the side of the road changing a flat, he wasn't on that plane. Amen? Now think about it. On the side of the road, what are you doing? You're practically getting in God's face. God, why did you let this happen to me? You knew I needed to catch that plane. God, you could have held that flat up until I got to the airport. God, why? 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 And all the while, God is saying, I'll take that flat tire and I'll work it for your good if you'll just trust me.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.